This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to the Podglomerate.
For everything that you were too afraid to ask at home, too embarrassed to ask at school, or was just too hard to ask your partner, welcome to the Sex Rap.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Sex Rap. You're here with Spring and Andrew, and we are here to answer all of your questions about sex, sexuality, sexual health, relationships, and we're here to do it really nicely.
Really nicely. And every and it's not just questions on a podcast. If you haven't checked it out, our Instagram has something going on every single day. We post original content. We post affirmations. We find and highlight people and communities who are doing work that aligns with what we're talking about. Or it's at the Sex Rap, that's rap with a W. How are you feeling today, Spring?
You know, sometimes we have questions on our list to answer for years before we get to them. And I'm just feeling really happy that we're doing this question today, because we'll get to the question in a minute, but this is a question that a friend of mine asked us to do. And I think it was like a couple of years ago now. And I gave this friend some like resources at the time, but I have really been wanting to do this question for a long time. And so like, we have questions like that, those ones that like you would just like want to do and we just never get around to because other things like get in the way or whatever. And then when you finally get to do that question, it feels like super exciting. So I'm feeling like really excited to do this question today.
And in case you weren't listening, if you are one of our friends in real life, another way to submit a question is you can just ask it to us. We'll put it on our list of approximately 2,000 questions. And sometime in the next 3 to 5 years, we'll answer your questions in real life as well. So real life friends, family who are listening, we'll get to your questions eventually.
So one of my friends said that they were having trouble finding a medical professional that felt like they understood their specific queer needs, and they felt very frustrated. And they said that like where they were living in the area they were living, they just felt like nobody was able to meet their needs, and they wanted help, you know, finding medical professionals that were, first of all, like interested in their needs, but also like had some education and had some awareness and were able to actually help them and talk about things with them. So
was your friend me? Because I have seriously struggled. I live in one of the largest metro areas with one of the largest LGBT populations in the entire country, right? In the entire United States. And I was having some minor blood issues like anemia, and I had to go get some blood work done. And I'm talking to who was at the time my PCP, and she's not talking to me about my health issue, right? Like my dangerously low levels of red blood cells. She says to me like, well, do you want an AIDS test? I'm like, whoa, where did that come from?
Also, it's called an HIV test.
I also realize it's called an HIV test. But right, I was working with a medical provider. Like, I have a doctorate. I do medical research. I teach classes about medical health. I'm at a professional place with somebody who has a medical degree, medical doctorate, MD. And they can't separate in their head me being a gay person. And obviously she has a lot of stigma and she thinks that all gay people have AIDS and I need to get an HIV test, from the actual health issue at hand. I feel whatever your friend asked that question, I feel the same way. I did have an awesome provider, but she left because she couldn't handle the COVIDiots anymore. Like the people with COVID who kept denying they had COVID and getting her and other people sick. But yeah, I really struggled to get like healthcare and healthcare providers who attend to my needs and who don't have like really negative stereotypes about LGBTQ people, right? And I think that's one of the big issues that we see with healthcare providers, is that healthcare providers don't take special classes on how to help minority populations on LGBTQ health. So whatever stereotypes and misconceptions that they learned about over their lifetimes, like in last week's episode, we talked about a whole bunch, carry on into their medical practice later. And it makes it really difficult. But I don't think it's only in medicine, right? I think if we're going to talk about support, I think we should talk about all of the different kinds of support that's potentially lacking in some places that people can find it, LGBTQ people can find it. Yeah. So thank you, Spring's friend, whom I don't know, for asking this question. And I'm really glad that we got it, because it really made me think about like places where support is missing and ways that we can help people find it. Not just medical support, but support across all of the different domains of our lives.
Yeah. So today we're answering the question, as a queer person, I often feel unsupported. Where can I find some support? And we're going to talk about all different types of support today.
I think we'll get to the medical piece, but before we get to medical, I think that when we look at support, we should probably start like really locally. Like the good news is, right, there is a lot of support for LGBT people everywhere, right? Everywhere we look, in every state, in every city, in every town, there are support networks, and sometimes they're difficult to find, and we're going to talk about ways that you can find them. But if we look, most medium to larger sized towns and cities, university towns and cities, colleges, even a lot of high schools have community centers and organizations that are there to really help LGBTQ plus populations. And you can find a lot of them, a lot of the different kinds of support services, just using some Google foo. Sometimes it takes using Instagram or Facebook, using some social media sites to try to find them. There are national networks that try to link them all together too, but there are support networks everywhere. And I'm going to talk about, of course, I have a story. I remember when I was like a young gay person, I felt really excluded from a lot of different places in society. I didn't feel like I had very good familial support or very good religious support or very good community support. And one year for Thanksgiving, I went to a dinner that was hosted by PFLAG. And if you don't know what PFLAG is, it's a national organization. There are thousands of chapters everywhere. And it's called Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. I think you can just go to PFLAG.com or PFLAG.org. And what they did is they cooked a dinner for all of the gays that were kicked out of their houses or didn't have a home to go to for Thanksgiving. And it was one of like the most sweet, like I'm not a teary person. I don't cry very much, but I had a weepy moment walking in that there are these people who chose to spend their Thanksgiving loving and caring for people who weren't a direct part of their families. But it was one of the first places where I really felt like community support. And then, you know, as long as I lived in that town, I kept going back every Thanksgiving and I started cooking for those other people. And I still have connections to some of like the grannies and grandpas at the time who would spend their time caring and loving other people. I want to start off with that story, right? Because, you know, there's a lot of negativity surrounding queer people in the United States today. There's politics, like we talked about them last week. But there's a lot of greatness too, right? There's a lot of love. There's a lot of support. And that PFLAG experience changed my entire worldview. So if you are feeling unsupported, if you are feeling a little bit lost, I hope you can look to a local community organization, something like PFLAG in your area, because boy, did I feel the love. And I got to pay that love forward too.
And I'm going to give a recommendation for like, if you're in a more rural area or a smaller town and you're like thinking that there aren't places like this, I'm going to encourage you to like go to local coffee shops, go to local bookstores and like look for places that might have a rainbow flag in the window or hanging outside. And I found that like in a lot of even very rural places where you might not see any organizations or nonprofits kind of in the area, there usually are some local businesses that are actually proudly supporting queer people. And when you see that icon, you know, you see that rainbow flag, you see that sticker of the rainbow flag, whatever it is, I encourage you to like go into that space and actually ask somebody, like say, you know, I saw this, like, do you know some people you can connect me to? Are there some organizations that are supporting? Because those places have put that out on purpose. Like they are specifically trying to help queer people feel more welcomed and safe. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a great thing to take advantage of. And sometimes it can feel overwhelming to like do internet searches and maybe like you can also do these things in person. You can do these little scavenger hunts for rainbows and follow the rainbow to find some safety and support.
Yeah, I love that idea. Like looking for spaces that advertise that, hey, we're inclusive. And there's a lot of other like ways that you can find people in spaces that are inclusive. There's that coexist sticker that you see that has a whole bunch of different religious symbols and rainbows on it. Like there's just a lot of actual support when you look for it. And often that support is very quiet, right? Because it's sometimes dangerous to be supportive or you might lose business or there might be attacks on LGBTQ people. But that support is there. And I like that Spring mentioned like really rural areas. And that's where we see many people having a lot of issues getting that kind of support, which is why turning to online communities and forums can be really valuable. I'm not talking about Grindr or Growler or Scissor, like there are some websites that are there for you to get sex, right? Those websites are not there for you to form long-term lasting bonds and relationships. It can happen most of the time if you're on any of the hookup apps, even things like Tinder. The point of that is you're finding someone to get your rocks off. That's one thing. But there are a lot of online community forums that are there that can be really, really helpful for finding people with your background, people who are similar to you, people who need help. I use Reddit a lot. It's reddit.com. Now, Reddit has everything from like the most scary spaces to the most supportive spaces. But you can do some searches on Reddit for queer subreddits. That's what you call like the sub bulletin boards inside of it. And there's many, many, many dedicated to every color, every letter, every kind of rainbow piece that we have in the LGBTQ plus community. And those social media groups offer all kinds of support. You can be in there. You can ask lots of different kinds of questions. You can find people. You can share stories. But whenever you're using online forums, places like Reddit or social media to build connection, you really need to make sure that you protect yourself. You want to use aliases. You don't want to be posting actual pictures of yourself, especially if you don't feel safe. You don't want to give out personal information. So whenever you're using any of these sites like YouTube or Reddit, even TikTok, right? TikTok has a lot of pro-gay content. If you find the right people, you can find your community. You can ask questions and you can connect to people. You can see people doing TikTok live. Like there's a lot of things that you can do to build out a really massive social support network. But really be careful and make sure that you're protecting yourself and protecting your identity. Really don't give out your personal information. Don't give out your phone number. If you want to talk to people, you know, there are apps that you can use like WhatsApp or Kick where you can have that kind of conversation and still really protect yourself.
And, you know, I think that as you start to get into more online spaces and start to find community there, like take your time with them, like do a lot of like reading things, you know, before you're even posting so that you also start to feel comfortable in the space. Like, you know, when you walk into a party, you don't just like run up to someone and start telling them everything about yourself, like a stranger that you don't know, right? But hopefully you don't. But you kind of want to do the same thing when you enter these online spaces. You want to like get a lay of the land a little bit. You want to start to settle in. You want to start to see like what the people are like there, what they're saying, how they're talking about things. And some of these online communities will have very explicit ground rules. And I would like actually encourage you to look for those communities first, because when they have the very explicit ground rules, it's going to give you a sense of safety and understanding of, you know, what's expected there. And if you're in a community that doesn't have ground rules, that part of that like easing into it is like starting to observe the ground rules. So you also start to like not only feel comfortable there, but then kind of know how to interact in that space. And so these are parts of like kind of online safety, but also just like learning and like how to enjoy being part of a community, right? Like the more that you like kind of ease into it and like understand what it's about, the more that you're going to like actually have a good experience there.
And remember, when you're in any of these communities, you're there to find support, but you are also a support for other people as well. They're not meant to be like pure emotional dumps where all of the bad things that have happened in your life, you can just spill out constantly. Like it's important, right? You should write those things down. You should talk about those experiences, but you also need to make sure that you're being supportive of other people, right? So you have to make sure if you want to be a part of a community, even an online community, it's about give and take, and everybody has to give to help make that community build. And with that, You are a part of our online community, everybody. You are part of our sex rap family. You can DM us on our social media. We chat with people there. You can send us questions, thesexrap@gmail.com. That's rap with a W. You can listen to our episodes because we make sure every single one of these episodes is being supportive of you. And with that said, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, we're going to keep talking about all of these, all the different ways that you can find support. Thank you, everybody. Welcome back to our episode. Today, we are talking about the different kinds of support that are out there and available if you are looking for them, if you know where to look, and if you know how to ask. And so far, we've been talking about some local things, things that are happening in your area, and then some very broad things that are happening online. And I think the next piece that I want to talk about, and this one's going to be real short spring, this is just, there are quite a few national support networks. This is the entire country and the entire planet that are out there that offer different kinds of support that people need. We can talk about something like the Human Rights Campaign, where you can get different kinds of support, especially if you're talking about politics or political silence. We can talk about things like GLAAD. GLAAD is G-L-A-A-D. You can look them up, but they do a lot of work with inclusive education and support of education for LGBTQ plus people. And then there's the Trevor Project, which is really there to provide like immediate direct support for people who are really facing a lot of depression or suicidal ideation. If you or a friend is having that level of mental health issues, of a level of unhappiness, a level of depression, you can contact the Trevor Project. You can text them. You can text the word START to 678-678, or you can call them at 1-866-488-7386. And in both of those cases, you get to talk to a real person who's there to do nothing other than to help you, to listen to you, and to connect you to resources in your area. So we have these national networks. Like I said, there's HRC, there's GLAAD, that's G-L-A-A-D, and then there's the Trevor Project that are all out there, and they'll provide legal support if you need legal support, right? If there's a legal issue with your parents or friends or housing or discrimination. There's mental health counseling through places like the Trevor Project. There's political support from the Human Rights Campaign. Right. So there's a lot of national networks out there. And I see them all the time. I realize some people never see them, but it's because my For You page in my entire world and everything that I do is just sort of checked in so that I see it a lot. And I realize that for people who aren't as a part of online or real world queer spaces, LGBTQ spaces, you probably don't see it as much, but they're out there, they're readily available. And with that Trevor Project, you can get in touch with someone immediately if you're having any kind of major crisis or distress in your life, they'll help you right away.
And then if you're thinking about, you know, other spaces that you want to go for help, if you're a student, that's definitely a great place to go. Most every school at this point has some type of queer support club or resource center or something that you can join. And these are for queer people, but also for their allies usually. And they usually have a lot of type of things that can support you. And sometimes you might be at a school that doesn't have one. And if you are at a school that doesn't have one of those, you can start one because every school should have one. So, you know, if you are at one of those spaces that does not have one yet, I would encourage you to find a trusted teacher or administrator at that institution and talk to them about why there isn't one yet and then ask for their support in starting one because I would say I'm not going to know the actual statistics here, but it's like most have this at this point. And if they don't, they need it. And so check it out. See if the institution you're at has one. And if they don't, see if you can help start that.
And there are some states that have been passing laws banning diversity centers or LGBT centers. And while they're banned, what they've really done is mostly just change their names to something else, like the Rainbow Student Support Center, or I don't know all of the names everywhere. We couldn't go through all of them, but that support exists. And the other thing that we know is that if you're at a school or a college or a university, there are a lot of other LGBTQ rainbow friends around. And if they're not that visible, you could be a little bit more visible or you can find other places that they're connecting. Like just finding similar interests, going to similar places, finding those people and building out what that means in terms of support and community. They are there. Sometimes you have to look for them. All right. So now we've hit the big piece of the question today, the really specific question.
The reason we're here.
So if we're going to be looking at issues with health and healthcare and healthcare providers and healthcare networks and healthcare support, like, what do we do? Now, like I said, I live in a city that is full of gay people, and I could go too, because I know they exist, right? There are LGBTQ health centers where there are doctors and nurses and staff that are trained and care about, and it's their life's work, goal, passion to help marginalized LGBTQ plus people. They're like an hour away from me, so I'm a little bit lazy. I didn't want to drive there. I probably should, though, because I don't want to go to the doctor for anemia and then have them stigmatize me as a human being. But there are centers like that around, but a lot of places don't necessarily have them, which means that it's finding a healthcare provider who's not part of one of these centers. And that sounds a little tricky.
So we have a couple ideas here. So we're going to put both of these links in the show notes. So one is called outcarehealth.org. And so it's like out, like you're out of the closet, outcare. And they have a list of queer affirming healthcare providers. And this is including mental health. It even includes massage therapy. They have like a very broad range of providers included. And so this is a website you can go to, put in searches, you can put in your locations, you can look for specialties, and you can look for people that they have identified that are supporting queer people. And so this is a great first stop. And I think, you know, this is definitely where you want to start if you are searching for some type of provider. However, we know that not everybody is on here, and we also know that not everyone will be in a location that has the specific type of provider they need that is listed on this website. So the other link that we are going to put in our show notes here is from @gender_specialist on Instagram. And I found this a while ago when we were thinking about, you know, in the past couple of years, we've been thinking about this episode. And I love what they've put together. They've put together a list of 10 questions that you can go to your provider and ask them these questions, like give a little interview so that you can start to get a feel for how comfortable you would be going to this provider. And this could be a mental health provider, you know, any type of provider that you want to go to. And we're going to just run through them quickly, but we'll also put them in the notes. And I just really love these. And so the types of questions are like, what is your experience in working with clients who are, and then you can insert whatever your identity is that you're concerned about. You can ask them about their ongoing learning and education to remain up to date on those issues for that identity. You can ask them about understanding of the issues that clients might face when navigating that specific type of health. You can ask them why they've chosen to work with those types of clients, things about their comfortability, things about their receptivity to feedback, things about being involved with that community in the physical area, and then asking them like, what does that type of provider relationship look like to you? And so all of these questions are just like very going to give you like a real idea for what this provider understands about the specific issues that are important to you. And you might not choose to ask all of them, but you might choose like the sum of the questions that are the most important to you or that you feel like will give you the best understanding of that provider. And I mean, I think that you could do this in a lot of different ways. You know, maybe you choose to email a provider in advance, or maybe you choose to like call and talk to a receptionist and say like, you know, I have a few questions for the provider before an appointment. Because I could see like, it could be overwhelming to like schedule appointments and then try to determine like, do I trust this person, right? So I think it's like trying to find a good way of like, how do I get some of these questions answered from a provider before actually scheduling an appointment with them? And if the provider wants to support you, I think they'll get back to you, right? Like if you send them these questions by email and they're like, they're interested in supporting people of different identities and in different backgrounds and in different types of whatever you are concerned about, then they're going to respond. They're going to be like, oh yeah, this is important to me. And they're going to get back to you. And if they don't get back to you, you could try again, but also that could be the information that you need to like keep looking for a different provider.
And I would also caution people, like we have, we're going to give you a big list, right? 10 plus items. Spring mentioned you don't have to ask all of them. I would say probably choose the two or three that are most important for you and tailor the questions to your identity and the issues that you're facing, right? The issues that you're going to be talking to a medical professional about. Doctors and nurses and PAs, and they have incredibly busy schedules and they have to do loads of paperwork. So you don't want to overload them at the beginning, but find some of the questions that really make sense for you and then expect those kind of answers. And we're talking about this for all different kinds of healthcare spaces. I like that they talk about, like the Spring talked about, massage therapists, etc. Often you can look up reviews of medical professionals online as well. So you can look up a doctor's name and just do a search for them in Google or DuckDuckGo. And you'll find other people have left them reviews. And sometimes you can get like a snapshot of what it's like to interact with a doctor in those spaces. But at the end of the day, you just want to ensure that the spaces that you're moving into for care are safe, inclusive, and respectful. Right. So the questions that you're asking are getting to all of those topics. There's actually a ton of research that the more like a doctor is to you, like the more similar you and your doctor are, the better the quality of care you get. Right. So women get the best care from women doctors. People of color get the best care from people of color, and queer people get the best care from queer people. And it's not necessarily about like the doctor wanting to do better or worse for the patient. It's they just understand where you are and they can meet you in your space and they understand your context and they understand some of the challenges that you've been through. And they're going to ask you questions that are more specifically about you and your community and your experiences, things that other doctors wouldn't really know. So let's see. So we talked about therapy, we talked about counseling, talked about medical care. I'm going to talk about something I don't normally talk about. So I am an a-religious person. I think lots of religions have great things to offer. And I think religion also has a lot of negative things to offer and the net balance. And my life is, I'm not really going to talk about it or be a part of it, but there are amazing religious and spiritual groups out there that are wholly 100% affirming of LGBTQ plus people, of gay people, of trans people, of non-binary people, of pansexual people, of polyamorous people. They are non-judgmental spaces. So if you are somebody who really has religion as one of those pillars of support, and we know for a lot of queer people, when they come out and when they start living as their true selves, they lose that support altogether. Right? They feel like that one piece of their life that was so important, that community, that spirituality, that connection is gone. The good news is there are a whole slew of churches and temples out there, lots of different religions that will love and support you for exactly who you are. Just have to sort of look for them and find them, but there are entire branches. The Unitarian Universalist will love you for you and your family, whatever that looks like, however that looks. There are a lot of other churches out there that are really, really, really supportive. You can just do some quick searches on the internet and they'll tell you if there's one of those branches in the area. On the campus where I work, one of the churches, all the way along their sidewalk, they have like, you know, women's rights are human rights, and they have rainbow flags, and they have birth control as a human right, and abortion is a human right. And like, if I was going to go to a church, I know exactly where I would go. And I know I would be loved. I would be supported. I would be thought of as a whole person with all of my rights intact, as would women and trans persons. So, but they're out there. Sometimes they're a little bit difficult to find in rural areas, but they all have online resources as well. If you're really into congregations and services and hymns and singing and songs and all of those components of religion, there are online communities of religious goers who stream those on Zoom every single week if that's something you need as well. So those resources are out there. So if you feel like that pillar has been kicked out from underneath you, if you feel completely lost, if you feel like you have no support in your spirituality or religion, it is out there. And there's actually a whole lot of it, right? Pretty much every single major world religion has branches that are queer affirming. Just have to do a little bit of searching. There might be one in your area. And if there's not, you can find and get some of that community love from your spiritual religion, whatever it is, online.
And then let's go into, we just have a couple more for you today. We want to go into like these more rare events that are also like popping up and happening. And so we're thinking about like pride parades, like film festivals, these like queer events that are happening in different communities, like all around. And I think that, you know, it's first of all, definitely go to these events, but then at these events, connect with people, right? Talk to people. Like, I'm someone who's really shy. And so you can like make a goal, like I'm going to talk to 5 people today and try to like learn a little bit about them and like share something and like ask them, you know, where they get support or something. So like, you know, going to these events can be just like a fun party, but then you can use these events also to help find more support for you. So anytime you can search for events, but also just when you see these events happening, make sure like put them in your plan, you know, go to those and then make connections with people there. And you might not like find people that you definitely want to be friends with or something on that day, but you might find some other networks or some other places of support or some other community through that. So it is really important to go to those things, even if you feel like, oh, I don't have anyone to go with. Like that's all the more reason to go when you see those. And I'm someone who would be like, oh, I don't have anyone to go with. I don't want to go. Go, because that is how you make this community. This is how you find those people.
And if you've been listening to our episode as an ally, if you're part of the heterosexual caucus, you're a part of those events too, right? Like your presence is important to show support, to show love. And if you're a really outgoing one, like I love like the mom hugs and the dad hugs. Like there are so many people out there trying to make these events better, brighter, more inclusive and supportive. There are also things like drag shows that happen. There are like drag queen library book readings that happen. There are a lot of other smaller events that happen throughout the year and all across the whole country where you might be able to find some members of your community. And there's just one more thing that I want to talk about. There are, if you're unable to attend, if none of the other things that we've talked about work for you today, there is an entire ocean of books and literature out there. LGBTQ books, LGBTQ authors, there's fantasy science fiction, there's romance, there's self-help, there's counseling, there's guide, like every single kind of book exists in the entire world. You can order one from thriftbooks.com or you can have that book to your house in just a few minutes. And when you have that book, you can start reading it and you can find something to affirm you and your identity in the literature as well. I read queer literature all the time. Behind me, there's an entire bookshelf of books that are written by gay authors. And they all speak to me in slightly different ways because they understand me and where I came from and my issues in my life and how to overcome them and the joy that I have. So there's a whole bunch of queer authors and queer books that you can read that can give you that sense of connection to a community. And like Spring said, if you're super shy, if you struggle with those kind of connections, there's a lot that's available out there.
And don't forget about us. We've already mentioned it a couple of times, but we are here. We want to support you. These episodes are all made for you. And if you're feeling like you need more support in any way, like come to us, ask us your questions, ask us for other ways of networking, and we are here to help you.
Yeah, we love you. We're your cheerleader. We're your support. We're your pillar. We're here with you, here for you every single day on our Instagram. And once a week, we have a whole new podcast and we have like 200. So you can always download a little bit more. And we're queer creators too, right? So we're really putting that out there. We love and support you, everybody. And we hope this episode has been useful. Make sure you check out the show notes because we're going to be linking different ways you can ask questions and finding medical care providers, some links to some other resources that if you feel like you need some connection. But thank you for listening, everybody. So if you have any questions about this episode or any follow-up episodes, feel free to reach out to us. You can send us an email. We're thesexwrap@gmail.com. That's wrap with a W. You should definitely check out our Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at thesexwrap. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
For everything that you were too afraid to ask at home, too embarrassed to ask at school, or just too...
Music for this episode provided by the ever elusive and mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder.
The Podglomerate. A Sonic Universe.